Most people don't reach their dream, not because of failure. Most people don't live their dream because they give up. You see, it's not the failure that stops us, but that most stop at their first failure. Those who succeed don't stop at one failure. They don't stop at 10 failures. They don't stop at 100, 1,000, or a million. They say, this is my goal, and I will do whatever it takes to achieve it. I will learn the lessons from any failures. I will learn faster. I will work harder. I will work smarter. And I will not quit until my dream is a reality. That's the difference between success and failure. Failure makes winners stronger. Failure makes winners hungrier. But it makes most give up. It makes most feel worthless. Winners don't enjoy failure, but they would never let failure stop them. Next time you encounter failure, you got to remember every great thing on this planet is here because the Creator learned what did work, but learned more from what did not work. When we are kids, we don't stop at failure. When we first learn to ride a bike, it's failure after failure. We get knocked down time after time, but we get up and push forward until we achieve our goal of riding the bike. But then we get old, and most of us get weak. We are too soft to get back on the bike. We come up with excuses. It must not be for me. No, you just soft. No, you just lazy. Tell yourself the truth. Get back on the bike. Learn why you fail and make sure you don't fall again. Make sure you are stronger for having the lesson.
Failure is not the end of your story. It is the start of your comeback story. If failure was the end of your story, there would be no greats. Greats like Jordan, greats like Einstein, like Edison, like Oprah Winfrey. If these people stopped at failure, the world would not be filled with their greatness as it is today. Failure is nothing but a lesson to the winner. Failure is nothing but motivation to the winner. Failure is fuel. No one likes to fail, but the difference between those that win and those that lose in life is the winner decides a better meaning for their failure. They decide never again. They declare, I will be better next time. Don't let failure stop you. Let it grow you. Let it develop you. Failure is not the end. It's just the start. The start of your comeback story. The only way you can call it a failure is if you quit. If you keep going, it's only a hurdle. One you will overcome.
The only way you can fail is if you quit. Never quit. Keep pushing. You will get there in the end.
Failure doesn't exist in the mind of a champion. All it does is push them to a higher level. Are you a champion? Will you accept failure or keep going?
Learn the lessons. Apply the lessons. Come out stronger than before and keep going.
Some people feel failure so much, they never try. They never even start.
Some people give up right when they're about to succeed. They were so close, but they threw in the towel. Don't let that be you.
Thomas Edison didn't fail. He found 10,000 ways that did not work. Guess what? He only needed one way that did work. Einstein said, failure is success in progress. Failure is just one more way not to do something.
Keep going and you will succeed. Keep going and you will succeed.
Failure is not the end of your story. It is the start of your comeback story.
If you use failure as fuel, you can't really fail. If you use it as motivation, you cannot be defeated in the long term. If you use it to drive you, use it to make you, it can never break you. If you never accept defeat, you can never fail. Refuse to be defeated. Refuse to be defeated. Learn the lesson. Find a new path and a different way to your goal. There's always a way.
People go to jobs that they hate, 87% of Americans, and guess what? And they pray they don't get fired. That's no way to live. That's why you're here. You just said, know what? No, I ain't going out like this. I'm telling you. And people think you're crazy, and you are. You got to be crazy today. You got to be out of your mind. My favorite book said, let that mind be in you. You got to have another mind in you that says, I got this. This is my life. I own this. I'm going to call the shots here. Nobody's going to tell me how much I'm worth, what time I can take a lunch break. I'm not going to anybody and ask for permission to take my family on vacation. No. No, I got this. I've got a vehicle that can take me to another place. That's why you said yes. Give yourselves a round of applause. Mr. Washington said, Mr. Brown, transform your mindset. Number two, he said, practice. Let us say together, OQP. Write this down. Only quality people. Only quality people. You don't want everybody in your organization. You want only quality people. Here's something else he said. Mr. Brown, yes, sir. And this is what we're going to do in this presentation. That's called presentation power. He said, develop your communication skills. How you present yourself, how you sell yourself. He said, once you open your mouth, you tell the world who you are. And then he said something else. Let us say together with conviction. I want everybody to join me on this. Let us say together, you got to be hungry. Say it again. You got to be hungry. He said, what do you want to do with your life, young man? I said, sir, I want to buy my mother a home. He said, you got to be hungry. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, people that are hungry are willing to do the things today others won't do in order to have the things tomorrow others won't have. He said, people that are hungry are relentless. People that are hungry are unstoppable. People that are hungry refuse to give up. People that are hungry, no excuse is acceptable for not making their dream become a reality. I said, I'm hungry, sir. I'm hungry to take care of my mother. I'm hungry to make she'll never cry. Have to pay another bill once I turn 18. And she hasn't, Mr. Washington. I'm hungry, sir, for another life. I'm not going to die here in Liberty City. I want to travel, sir. I want to see the world. He said, you can do that, sir. He said, practice OQP, only quality people. If you run around with nine broke people, he said, I guarantee you, you'll become number 10. He said, work on your mindset. Listen to these audio programs I'm giving you every day. Glenn Turner, Dare to Be Great, every day. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, Jim Rohn, every day. Zig Ziglar, program your mind, Mr. Brown. He said, how do you plan to buy your mother a home? I said, sir, I want to become a disc jockey. He said, is that right? I said, yes, sir. He said, good. He said, work on your mind. Here are my car keys. What do you want me to do with this? At lunchtime, go in my car, turn on the radio, and listen to Paul Harvey. Why? He's the world's greatest communicator. You want to be successful? Yes, sir. He says, listen and study people that are great communicators. That's the key to controlling your future. I said, but that's at lunchtime. In order to be successful, you got to be hungry. You got to be willing to do the things today others won't do. Are you willing to do that, to be successful, to buy your mother home? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what you have done. You've got some goals that you want to achieve. There's some things that you want to do. And you've said to yourself, I'm willing to face the no's. You said to yourself, I'm willing for people to laugh at me. You said to yourself, I'm willing to gut this out. You said to yourself, I'm willing to make this happen. You said to yourself, I'm going to do whatever it takes to build this business. I can do it. If anybody's ever done it at any point in time in history, then what's possible for one, it's possible for me, and I'm going to do it. That's what you said to yourself. He said, listen to Paul Harvey every day. So you want to be a disc jockey? Yes, sir. He said, I want you to create your format. What will your personality be? What style are you going to have? I said, wait a minute, sir. I want to be a disc jockey, but I don't have a job yet. And then he said something. He said, it's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. He said, you got to expect to become successful. Let us say together, I expect to win. I expect to increase my recruitment. I expect to be a great presenter. I expect to become a millionaire. It's my time. It's possible. It's necessary. It's me. It's hard. It's worth it. Nietzsche said, if you know the why for living, you can endure almost anyhow. Your homework assignment is write down 5 reasons that will make it worth it for you. So when the tough times come, and they're going to come, when you feel like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and that's a part of the process, your reasons will be your rod and staff to comfort you, to take you through the storms of life. He told me, you want to be a disc jockey. Practice on your communication skills. Visualize yourself talking to thousands of people, Mr. Brown. See yourself on stage presenting. Be willing to invest in yourself. Warren Buffett was being interviewed by a financial analyst on CNN. He said, what's the most important investment a person can make today? Warren Buffett, a billionaire, has billions of dollars in the stock market, billions of dollars in real estate. He looked at the reporter and said, the most important investment you can make is in yourself. The reason you're here, the reason you invested your money, your time and energy and transportation and the room and all the costs in a so-called tough economy, because you have the mindset of a billionaire. You know, investing in yourself, you are your most treasured asset. Give yourselves a round of applause. Come on, bring your energy level up. So he said, Mr. Brown, I've done all that I can do for you. You've got to go out and face the music. You go with the things I've taught you and make it happen. I went to WMBM radio station on Miami Beach. Milton Butterball Smith was the program director. Hello, Mr. Butterball. My name is Les Brown, sir. I'd like to be a disc jockey. He said, young man, you have any journalism in your background? No, sir, I don't. You have any experience in broadcasting? No, sir, I don't, but I practice every day. Let me audition for you. Let me show you how good I am. He says, no, we don't have any job for you. How many have been rejected? Raise your hands, please. I was devastated with rejection. I went back to Mr. Washington. I said, Mr. Washington, they said no. He said, don't take it personally. Most people are so negative, they have to say no 7 times before they say yes. He said, you got to be hungry. Go back again. I said, yes, sir. I went back again. Hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you, sir? My name is Les Brown, sir. I like to be a disc jockey. He said, I know what your name is. Weren't you here yesterday? Yes, sir. Didn't I tell you no yesterday? Yes, sir. He said, then why are you back today? I said, well, sir, I didn't know whether or not somebody was laid off or somebody was fired, sir. Don't want to laid off or fired. Now get on out of here. I came back the next day, talking loud, looking happy, like I was seeing it for the first time. I said, hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you? My name is Les Brown, sir. I'd like to be a disc jockey. He said, I know what your name is. Weren't you here the last 2 days? I said, yes, sir. Didn't I tell you no the last 2 days? I said, yes, sir. He said, then why are you back today? I said, sir, I didn't know whether or not someone got sick or someone died, sir. He said, no one got sick or died. No one was laid off or fired. Now, don't you come back here again. I came back the next day. Talking loud, looking happy, like I was singing for the first time. I said, hello, Mr. Butterball, how are you? He looked at me with rage. He said, go get me some coffee. I said, yes, sir. Now, My favorite book said, the greatest among you will be your servant. So I became the errand boy for the disc jockeys. I was serving them. I'd go get their lunch and their dinner, and I'd come into the control room, watching them working the control room knobs and switches, knowing my time will come. Let us say together, my time will come when I'll be a top producer, and when I'll come up on stage and they call my name because of my accomplishment. My time will come. Because I'm going to put forth the effort. And so on the weekends when the disc jockeys would come out to the parking lot, the cars would be clean inside out. They said, hey, who did this? I did, sir. How much do you charge, young man? Oh, nothing, sir. I just wanted to help out. Write this down. Build relationships. Build relationships. Give before you ask people to come into your business. Find some way to compliment them. Talk to them, ask them questions. Find out what's important to them, what's stressing them out, what keeps them up at night, what drives them, what they value. Don't advance with the business. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. That's why you want to tell the story and ask key questions. You want to be strategic and experiential. Write this down. You have an energy signature. People are feeling you out. They're listening to you. They're watching you. And so, it said, look, here are my car keys, young man. Donna Ross and the Supremes are coming to town, the Four Tops and the Temptations. I want you to pick them up at the airport and take them to the Fountain Blue Hotel on Miami Beach. It is my pleasure to serve you, sir. I would drive these entertainers all over Miami Beach in the disc jockey's big long Cadillacs. I didn't have any driver's license, but I'll drive it like I had some. Then one day, it's a Saturday afternoon, a disc jockey by the name of Rockin' Roger was drinking while he was on the air. Rockin' Roger got so drunk, he could not complete the show. He began to slur his words. He's about to fall off the chair. It's a Saturday afternoon, and I was the only one there, looking at him through the control room window, walking back and forth, young, ready, and hungry. I was saying, drink, Rock, drink. Drink, Rock. I'd have gone and get him some more if he'd asked me to. Then pretty soon the phone rang. It was a general manager. I said, hello? He said, young boy, this is Mr. Clyde. I said, I know. He said, Rock can't finish the program. I said, I know. He said, will you call one of the other DJs in? I said, yes, sir. I hung the phone up and said, now he must be thinking I'm crazy. I called my mama and my girlfriend, Cassandra. I said, y'all come out on the front porch, turn up the radio. I'm about to come on the air. I waited for about 20 minutes and I called him back. I said, Mr. Klein, I can't find nobody. He said, young boy, you know how to work the controls? I said, yes, sir. He said, go on there and segue the records, but don't you say nothing here. I said, yes, sir. I couldn't wait to get old Rock out of the way. I put on a fast record. I said, look out, this is me, LB Triple P. Les Brown, your platter playing papa. There were none before me and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle. Certified, bona fide, dubly qualified to bring you satisfaction and a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry. Give the old man a round of applause. I was hungry. I was hungry. I was hungry. You gotta be hungry. Shake someone's hand on your right and left and say, you gotta be hungry. Do that right now. Shake somebody else's hand. Say, you gotta be hungry. people that are hungry believe if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. People that are hungry believe what Zig said when he said, if you give enough people what they want, they will give you what you want. People that are hungry believe always strive to get on top in life because it's the bottom that's overcrowded. People that are hungry are uncommon people. They say yes to their dreams. They say yes to an opportunity where they can develop their entrepreneurial skills, where they can develop their mind and their leadership skills, where they can become versatile and flexible and create and build a business they can be proud of. People that are hungry have a vision of themselves when they leave here, leaving a legacy and not liabilities. People that are hungry understand that most people die at age 25 and don't get buried till they're 65 because they're not willing to take a chance on themselves. People that are hungry are a rare breed. They're risk takers. I don't know what you want to do. Seemed like yesterday when I was the new kid on the block. Now at 68, I'm the old timer. I used to think people in their 40s were old. Now at 68, I feel like I served at the Lord's Supper. And I know I look young for 68 because I used mascara to cover my gray hair. I was over there asking Marie, I said, Marina, can you have any of this mascara? She said, oh, you look just fine. My kids say, Daddy, you look distinguished with your gray hair. I said, 68, I'm not trying to look distinguished. I'm trying to look young. I got to tell you this story. Don't tell anybody, please. I gave this speech at the Georgia Dome. After I finished, it's called It's Not Over Till I Win. And after I finished, somebody came backstage and said, Mr. Brown, I know you're tired and I'll speak or cancel. Do you have enough energy to do another program? I said, no, I'm tired. He said, we can pay you full fee of $25,000. I said, the Lord is able. So they took me over to the Georgia World Congress Center. And it was an intimate setting. People were very close to the stage. So I looked in the room, and then I went to the restroom and got my little Mademoiselle mascara out to cover my grain, you know, Eva Bush, dash it, everything. So I came in the room. The lady wanted everybody to know that she knew me. So she said, there he is, Les Brown. I came up on the stage. She holds her cheek out for me to kiss it. I kissed her on the cheek and left this big black smudge on her face. I said, oh, my God. So I didn't know what to do, so I just sat down. So the people down front start saying, there's something on your face. She looks at me. She said, what are they saying? I said, I don't know. Then one nosy lady went over there, opened up her pocketbook, and gave her a mirror. Now, nobody asked her to do that. Getting in the Kool-Aid, don't know the flavor. She looks and see the big black smudge on her face. She said, how did this get here? I said, I don't know. You think maybe some of this rubs off? Well, the reason I'm telling you this, don't worry if I kiss you today, because Marie said, you don't need it. You'll be just fine. You look distinguished. Whatever. How many of you like to learn how to improve your presentation skills? Raise your hand. We're going to do a webinar that will walk you through a process and teach you how to tell your story. So you can speak in your community on a volunteer basis and be able to make a difference. How many of you like to make a difference with your story? Raise your hands. Very good. We will show you how to do this. I've been doing this now for 40 years. I love and admire Eric Worre for who he is, me as a friend, but the passion that he has in giving you the tools that you need, not just the mindset, but the skill set of what it takes to build a strong multi-level marketing business. I can tell you, based upon my experience, and he's not paying me to be here. He's got a blue light special going on up in here. This is my friend that I love him. There are few people who can call me, and I'll get on a flight and only had 4 hours of sleep to come in and speak. I was very subdued and conservative today, but I love and admire him. I'd like to leave this with you. After leaving Zig's memorial yesterday, who was a great man, who contributed so much to so many people, I said, God, let me touch and change millions of people's lives like Zig has done. Let me make my mark like he made an incredible mark. Let me touch hearts and minds like he touched me when I first saw him. And I drove many miles, 400 and 500 miles, to see him and Jim Rohn and Dr. Norman Vincent Peale and Charlie Tremendous Jones. Let me be an instrument to give people hope, to inspire them to expand their skill set, to encourage them to create collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships. God, let me live a life that counts, that means something to people. God, help me to be able to inspire people like Mr. Washington inspired me, like Mike Williams, my mentor for the past 43 years, who saw something in me I could not see in myself, who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. Please let me live a life that matters. I want to leave this with you. This stage of my life, my goal is to train 100,000 speakers who will have one message: hope, skill set, and collaborative relationships that will change how people think, how they feel, and how they act. 100,000 people outside of religion and outside of politics, both of which I believe polarize and divide people. 100,000 ordinary people who want to live an extraordinary life. God, give me the stamina and the vision to use my gift that you have given me to work with people who are hungry to make their lives count. I want to leave this with you that my mother used to love to say to me when she was in pain. Leslie, yes, ma'am. Come in here. Yes, ma'am, mama. What is it, baby? Say that thing for me, boy. That makes me feel good. Yes, ma'am, mama. My mother's dream was to raise 7 children she didn't have, to make sure we had a roof over our head and food on the table. And she never failed. We never went to sleep hungry. She's a hard worker and she had faith. I remember the first home I bought her in, this home she saw. I said, Mama, how you like this? She said, if I lived in something like that, I would feel like Mrs. Rockefeller. She didn't know I had planned to get that home for her. I purchased the home and I said, Mama, I think I know the people who live there. You do? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm going to stop in and say hello. And I drove there and I opened the door. And she got out, and Mama at that time, around 76, she held my arm and we were walking toward the house. She looked at how beautiful this house was. She said, Leslie, you sure you know these people? Yes, ma'am, Mama, I do. And we got to the door, and I couldn't hold it anymore. I reached in my pocket, I took the key out, and I put it in the door. I said, Mrs. Rockefeller, this is your home. She said, Leslie, what are you talking about? I said, Mama, I bought this for you. I pushed the door open. She stuck her head in the door. She said, anybody home? I said, no, Mama. Nobody's here. This is yours. It's fully furnished. Multi-level marketing made that happen. This is going to happen for you. It's already happened for some of you. Mama has since passed. She was born on November the 6th, just like Zig. I remember her walking around the house looking and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Leslie, you were such a problem kid. You were so crazy. I said, I know, Mama, but I'm rich now. I dedicate this to the dream in you. Say that thing for me, boy. Yes, ma'am. If you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for it, to work day and night for it, to give up your time, your peace, and your sleep for it, if all that you dream and scheme is about it, and life seems useless and worthless without it, and if you gladly sweat for it and fret for it and plan for it and lose all your terror of the opposition for it, and if you simply go after that thing that you want with all of your capacity, strength and sagacity, faith, hope, and confidence, and stern pertinacity.